Love it. All right. This is NFL Australia. I'm your co-host, James Clements. I'm a guy. You might know me. I know I write a lot about NFL over on codebet.com.au. Good website, that one. Might also be the editor of it. I'm here in Larry Armour Studios. Oh, yeah. Feeling good. Feeling great. On the other side of this here iPad, it's a bloke contemplating getting a 5-0 tattoo. Just either side of his nuts. Just 1-5-1-0. Off he goes. It's sometimes singer in a band called The Ramshackle Army. He is our resident Eagles fan. Go Birds. He's my mate. He's your mate. It's Gaz. Gaz, what's going on?
Mate, why would I can't get 5-0. It's going to be outdated so quickly before it's even healed, mate. Jesus. Well, no, it's been a good week for football.
You can just tag a 1 on the next to the 5 when you end up 15-0, right?
Tough week coming up, mate. I'm sure we're going to touch base on it, but I'm a little bit fucking nervous about this one.
Weird week, Gaz. Weird week. Week 5 is in the bag. The Giants apparently own England. That's weird. Coaches are dumb.
Yeah, it is fucking weird.
And your Eagles are, yeah, undefeated. A bit of a strange one, though. We'll get right into it. We're here to wrap up Week 5 and set you up for Week 6. That's what we do on NFL Australia. All in one dumb, rambly package, I'll tell you that much. Anyway, let's get right into it. Big show, big show. Episode 55 of NFL Australia. The flesh is dripping from my
bones, and I don't know. Hi, do you want to live the good life? Do you want to get paid for doing nothing? Then you can be like me and become a coach of the Carolina Panthers. Hey, this is Matt Rule, and you're listening to NFL Australia.
Tell you what, Gaz. Oh, yeah. We called it. Boom. There you go. That's it. Matt Rule.
Whoa.
On his ass. That's
mate,
right.
He was on the list. He was on the list.
And I'll tell you what. No one's really shedding too many tears. Least of all, the owner of the Panthers, Dave Tepper. He was out there just like giving the most condescending press conference you'll ever see as well after he fought him. He's like, look. This is like, all right, dickhead. Like, this is your handpick fucking dude. Settle down.
We try to be patient, right? We tried to be patient.
What's getting over the hump? winning more than last year. All right, cool. No shit. Anyway, Matt Rule
backing in mediocre quarterbacks for 3 years. Probably not a safe strategy.
A lot of reclamation projects have gone into this Carolina thing. And Matt Rule, look, I'm usually on board with the bringing a college coach, give him a big contract, let him feel safe. But if you then also just sort of cycle through a bunch of shit quarterbacks in that time, it's not great.
Yep. But
at the same time, I don't feel like we come away from the Matt Rule experience going, oh, well, there goes just a coaching genius. Oh, I can't believe they made that call to let him go. But either way, he's no longer the coach of the Carolina Panthers. And should the tank be on? What do you reckon? Yeah, no.
But he's earning a lot of money until the
840
he's earning
grand
a lot of money. Yeah, like doing so it's like everyone's like, why would you fucking do that? But it makes 100% sense because he's got a clause in his contract that's it's an offset clause, right? So by sacking him as early as possible, if the season's a write-off, you're going to pay him that fucking money anyway, right? Whereas sacking him early enough means that a college team might pick him up. And if he gets picked up by a college team, then that salary will offset what the Carolina Panthers owe him, blah, 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 blah. So,
good
it's a fucking money-making exercise. But, I know, right? But the theory is right now that everyone's moving in to pick the bones, right? That DJ Moore's already had phone calls about him that, the rumors started about 5 minutes later that the Bills had called about McCaffrey and all that sort of stuff. So, look, it wasn't just Rule. It was the defensive coordinator as well. The team behind him's on the way out the fucking door. So,
it's a couple of
Panthers fans that I know are quite relieved. You know, just draw a line in the sand. And or a line through this season, and let's just move on to the next. But
love it. But I guess there's going to be a lot of trade calls out there right now for Baker.
100%, right? Every GM in the league is going to be reaching out.
Anyway,
Howie, get on the phone, Howie.
Speaking of which, coaches are just idiots. I think we this is one of those sort of major storylines that came out of this week. A lot of, oh, geez, man, analytics. What's up with that, bro? And you're like, ah, right. Is it? It's a combination of analytics and coaches seemingly just going, well, if I just follow the analytics, then I can't get in trouble because it's the analytics.
Yeah.
Same time, I feel like you should be making better judgment calls. We had a few of those. We'll get into them in a second. London, this was the first time they've ever had a match between teams over 500. Can you believe that, Gaz?
Yeah.
That's fucking chaos. I love it. And this is the reason why every time there's a London game, you go, oh, that game fucking sucks. And it always felt like it was payback for the War of Independence. It's like, yeah, let's shove another one up in England. It's like, but wait, you want them to be watching yours? Anyway, whatever. And the Giants just own it. Like, I do like, during the week there was talk, oh, the Giants have done it before. It's like, yeah, in like 2017. Like, there's no organizational, like, know-how about going across the pond to play in front of the Brits. Yes. But I'll tell you what, I did love the stick your fork and cheese up your ass. Stick your fork and cheese.
About the English fans just getting on it and just getting maggot.
Right.
And this week they bought the cheers.
Loved it. It's just weird though. I just don't like Giants fans in general, let alone English Giants fans. It's like, all right, this is a bit on the nose. Like, I much prefer the Jacksonville London fans. You know, it's like, that's fucking just way more random.
Pretty much their second. It's their second home ground by this point, right?
It is. What else we got? We got Detroit suck. Pittsburgh suck more. The Jags suck. Lots of teams suck. And I'll tell you what, between coaches sucking, teams sucking, it's just a bit of a sucky kind of week. And this was a strange one, going to week five. So we've got field goals deciding games, we've got weird fucky decisions, and we've got a horrible, horrible, horrible Broncos Colts game on Thursday night. It's just sort of set us up for this, just like, what is going on? This fucking stinks. And I sort of came out of this week going, yeah, what is going on in the NFL at the moment? There's like these weird shit teams that you just can't trust to lose badly that much. But then you can't trust some of these shitty teams to win, like the Jags. Detroit have been like a great story, and then they get fucking goose-egged by my Patriots. And I went into that game thinking that, like, Detroit would, like, at least, what, win, cover, whatever. And we've got punch-ons in Steelers Bills, which I kind of like, I was like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, we're kind of behind that.
I'm kind of on board.
Let's be honest.
It was kind of a little bit deserved, I'll pay. And I don't know. It's just a weird, strange, fucky week, I thought. Game deciding field goal week again. We had that last week, right? Like, Chargers-Browns was a missed field goal. We had Eagles-Cards, which was a missed field goal. We had Ravens-Bengals, which was a made field goal. And, I mean, in terms of, like, those weird decisions that we talked about, the coaches, the Raiders cost themselves at least probably in overtime by going for it and the dumb decision. Denver probably cost himself a win by going for it instead of just, like, kicking a field goal, going up six rather than three. Just all these fucking weird decisions, Gaz. Just a weird, shitty week for me. But no more winless teams. I mentioned that the Jags suck because they got beaten by the Texans hilariously. And, of course, we get to the end of all this, and there's only one unbeaten team. Go, Birds.
Yeah! Dubbirds. Wait, that doesn't even fit, right?
Dubbirds?
Go, Birds. Nah. The Dubbirds. Fly, Eagles, fly, right? It wasn't pretty, but we'll get to that in a bit. But, I'm not going to talk too much out of sequence about the Eagles. There's plenty of opportunities there, Jimmy. But there's obviously the section that we always hate to hit, which is the injuries. Fucking Teddy comes in, the Tua thing, and he's the redemption story. First series, he's fucking gone. Baker Mayfield, because it wasn't a bad enough story for the Carolina Panthers this week. High ankle sprain. Going to miss multiple weeks. They're three QBs down at this point. Three. Fucking three.
My team will never have three QBs down. Just two and keep winning.
Oh, no, right. Yeah.
Anyway.
Savion Smith, worth talking about because it was quite fucking scary. You're like, where did this guy go down? What happened there? Oh, wait. There's an ambulance coming out on the field. Oh, wait. His parents have been called from the crowd to jump in the ambulance with this dude. That was quite scary. Niners, cornerback Emmanuel Mosley. That defense was holding that team together, you would think. And he's gone down with his ACL. And Rashad Penny. Fuck, man. End of last season, he was he came on strong at the end. Had started, you know, the contract year, free agent at the end of the year. Started, had a breakout game last week. And then this week, broken tibia out for the year. That's pretty tough. Another, while we're running through some random thoughts, what the fuck even is roughing the passer, Jimmy? But at this point,
nobody knows. Jerome Bowden doesn't know. The refs in that Raiders Chiefs game don't know what roughing the passer is. What
Brady Jarrett definitely fucking doesn't. I mean, you've touched on it. Thursday night football lineups fucking suck. Oof. Colts Broncos fucking sucked. This week doesn't get much fucking better.
My question for you there, guys. It's like, at what point does Jeff Bezos just jump on the phone and go, hang on. Yeah. I'm going to need some of that fucking money back, bro. Like, this is bullshit. How did I get fucking slugged with fucking Washington, Chicago? Jeez, like, seriously, dude. Roger, I'm going to fucking Roger you, and all of your packages are going to take an extra 2 weeks to get to your fucking house now because you fucked me. You fucked me, Roger.
So many jokes and tweets about, every member should get a week worth of Amazon Prime just for having to sit through that fucking game last Thursday. And it just doesn't get better. You just got to wonder whether it's, none of these teams weren't going to be competitors before the season. It was literally about, we don't want to put a bunch of these guys on short weeks. Is it just like, you know, if you're a real contender, we can deal with Monday to Sunday to get some prime time. But yeah, Thursday, it's just a little bit fucky. You want people to blame the short week when it comes to the end. Anyway, let's move on. Dan Campbell cooked. Ron Rivera cooked. Yeah, it's not looking great for either of them.
A lot of excuses.
There is a lot of excuses.
Stand-up dudes who are like in front of the cameras going, it's all on me, I'm putting on a good face. And you're like, but we're just not sure if you're a good coach, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yep. Both New York teams over 500.
Boo.
After week 5.
Boo.
First time in 7 years. As someone who's lived there, Jimmy, you must be stoked because I'm sure that all of their fans are just lovely people.
Definitely not front runners and definitely always invested in their team success and paying attention. Anyway.
And NFC East, no longer a fucking joke, mate. 3 teams with 1 or less losses. I'm just going to leave that there, and we'll move on to some game wraps.
I'll pay that. All right, let's fly through all these games because we've already hit fucking most of them, I feel like. Colts Broncos, we don't need to talk about this. This was the worst game I've watched in ages. 12-9 gross. In overtime. What was it? It was like the first time that like two quarterbacks with like the amount of games played, all this sort of shit.
Five Pro Bowls each.
And thrown for 0 touchdowns in a game. Anyway, it fucking sucked. Zero. Everyone who sat through it, again, deserves Amazon Prime. The actual games, London, as mentioned, the Giants beat the Packers. The Packers, it looked like they had this. Like they're up 10 zip to start off with. It was like 20-10 at half. It's just like, and then they just didn't score again. It was, and literally, they didn't score in the second half. I think the last bit where they scored those extra 2 points was a safety at the very end by the Giants. It was fucking crazy. Yeah. Saquon
went off. Like, as he looked in, awesome. Went off, and then he went off injured.
Exactly.
And then came back. And their defense, like, where is this? It's but also this Giants team's a little bit fucky. Like their only receiver is Slayton.
Yeah, makes zero sense.
What the fuck?
They're like running absolute fucking trash out there. And Danny Dimes, I don't know. It's like this is a combination of like the weird belief that Brian Daboll sort of instills in them. But like Saquon ripped off like one big run, didn't damage them too much, but he was just like really important on short yardage, and Slayton's like the only fucking dude who's actually out there catching balls. Like, it was crazy that the Pack just sort of rolled over. Anyway, 27-22, that leaves the Packers 3-2, and I'm looking look, I'm not going to say I'm looking pretty smart because we all know that I am very smart, but the Vikings preseason pick, I'm just saying, like, this was, you know, I thought the Packers would be a bit scrappy. I didn't think they'd be losing the fucking Giants in week 5.
Are you pretending like this is a Minnesota team that's not going to shoot themselves in the foot?
They will, 100%. So that's why I'm so wary of saying anything about my Minnesota pick preseason, because I feel very proud of it, but Minnesota are 100% going to fuck me in some way, shape, or form. The Bills absolutely smoked the Steelers, 38-3, fight at the end of this one, but also Gabe Davis just catching fucking everything. 98-yard touchdown to start the fucking game.
That was out of control. Insane.
So fucking good.
So ridiculous.
You saw Devontae Adams actually today on Monday Night Football do some pretty like fucking nifty catches. Just you're like, how has he got so much space? And you realize that Devontae Adams is faster than everybody and bigger than everybody. And then you look at someone like Gabe Davis, you're like, oh, no, he's just faster than everybody. This dude he had three receptions, Gaz, for 171 yards.
Fuck.
That's like Randy Moss territories. I love it. Anyway, and then, the punch on that we mentioned at the top, that was Kenny Pickett having his leg sort of jumped out and his teammates jumping in.
Yeah.
Him actually standing up for himself, which I appreciate from the rookie.
Yeah, that's you can't really. But that's like a welcome. That was like, dude, that was a. It was a quick turnaround to his welcome to the NFL moment, right? Yeah. Like,
therefore, but a 3-point, 35-point loss. Ugh, gross. Anyway, they stink. They are very bad. They're 1-4. The Steelers, Bills 4-1. Chargers, they beat the Browns. Well, they didn't lose to the Browns. More is the point, right? That makes a bit more sense. Yep. Eckler was really good in this game. Absolutely,
as
fucking
much as
did
Staley
everything.
Tried, Jimmy. As much as Staley tried.
So. How does this go? So Staley goes for it, right? There's, what, a minute 40 or something, I think, left in this game? Minute 40, 14 or something? I can't remember.
Way too fucking long. Goes
and
for the more than one.
Goes for the fourth and one in his own territory up two. You're like, my dude, seriously, what are we doing here? Like, fuck.
He's like a skinny little dude. And I'm like, it felt like I'm going to prove to the world that I've got big balls.
Yeah.
Because if I hit this first down, then it's game over.
Yep.
But he also could have just trusted. I know his defense isn't the greatest thing in the world.
Seriously.
But at least make them march 50 yards with no timeouts rather than.
I would rather challenge Jacoby Brissett to lead a fucking giant charge. Not, 80 yards back up the fucking field to beat me rather than like just give them the ball at half. Halfway up the fucking field. So, but yeah, of course, they missed the field goal and the Chargers hold on in just stupid fashion. I don't know how the Browns are 2-3. Like it makes zero sense to me. They feel like they've blown. Like they could be 5-0. I feel like in my brain, like they blow a stupid game to what the Jets wasn't it? That was just fucking chaos, in just absolutely insane fashion. Just I don't know. The Browns, they're just weird. So this game's at home. Weird. Chargers win it. They also have like that's why they call it the Midwest tweet. I'm like, oh. I don't know. I don't know if I like A, funny, but also you can't tweet that after you only snuck by because they missed a fucking field goal, you dweebs.
Yeah.
Anyway, Vikings hold on against the Bears 29-22. This, when I say hold on, this game was fucking crazy. And the Bears kind of were there. And
that really annoyed me, Jimmy, because we all, I don't know if you know, but I kind of fucking hate Kirk Cousins. And I don't know if I've mentioned it over the last 3.5, however many seasons have been on this. But the fact that I watched the beginning of that game and it was kind of Vikings were doing what you would expect Vikings to do in this game and had it well under control and Jefferson fucking went off and yada, yada, yada. And then all of a sudden, there's a massive comeback. And you're like, oh, fucking hang on. Maybe I'll watch the end of this game. And then there was the pass to fucking, I forget his name, but the ex-Vikings player that literally gets ripped straight out of his hands for the turnover. And I'm like, is this collusion? Was he play? Was he cut? Was he placed? Did they take Jalen Reagor from the Eagles just to cut this guy to be picked up from the Browns just as some like 3D chess move for 4 weeks' time? I don't know, Jimmy. I'm not a conspiracy guy. All I'm saying is it's fucking sus.
Also great, though, if you had the Vikings. I think the line was like -6.5 or something or -7. And yeah. Brutal. And I think it moved out to -7.5. But anyway, the Patriots, my beloved Patriots, 29-0.
What the fuck? I'll tell you what, I watched none of this until I saw the scoreline. And then I went, hang on, I better go back and watch this.
So I'll tell you what it was. It was the Pat the Patriot midfield. Fucking love it. I was wearing my Pat Patriot hoodie earlier. Not right now, but. the red uniforms. It's like one of those things where you're like, why do we just not wear these all the fucking time? These are glorious. Yeah. We're out running out. Bailey Zappi, our third string QB. Doesn't matter when you got Ramondre Stevenson running over motherfuckers. This is really fun. And but Jakobi Meyers had like 110 yards or something.
I'm not gonna lie, Jimmy. He put up 22 in this. I'm just saying, in this down week in between now and next week, I'm gonna be hitting you up for a trade in our fantasy football league to say, do you want Jakobi? Because he went fucking off. And to feel like you need a bit of a homer going on there, mate.
I do. I love him. But anyway, that was a good win. I'll take that. But holding the Lions to zip is just. This was like the highest scoring offense in the entire NFL until this week. So,
yeah.
Anyway.
I think that was the weird thing. That was what... I think that's the Dan Campbell has cooked line that's coming through. Like, you can pay it up when he's... we'll just got to limp through to the bye and then we got to sort out our defense and all this sort of stuff. But to put up zero is... yeah.
I mean, the Patriots D has been really good so far this season. It's like the only thing that's literally kept us in any games. It's the only reason we're 2-3. But... vibe of just
so
this...
Matt Patricia not calling plays is not really working out.
But the Detroit, like, just experience of like 1-4, where like they had so many good vibes, and that's all just gone. So but without you know, with Amon-Ra and Brown limited and no DeAndre Swift, you're like, oh, this is just out the window. Anyway, Seahawks, they lost against the Saints 39-32. Taysom Hill, the Taysom Hill show was back. You love to see it, kind of. I guess this is why I just can't.
I would love.
I'm not betting any Saints game for the rest of the season. I'm just like, there is
what a fucking
no joke. Rhyme or reason what the fuck they're doing week in, week out. It's chaos.
There was absolutely there was a good population of the fantasy football world who were Taysom Hill owners who were gnashing their teeth because he was basically unstartable for the first 4 weeks. Maybe a scramble here. He hadn't thrown a single pass. He was the tight end and there was nothing. And then all of a sudden this week, fucking bang, right? He was sitting on so many benches. We're going to touch a base a little bit on a turning point a little bit later. It was just happened to be a bit of a punt. But, mate, this is another two teams that we have no idea what to make of. The Saints are fucking all over the place. The Red Rifle is actually showing, like, he's been relatively consistent from coming in. But that's the thing about Andy Dalton, right? There's a reason that around the NFL call it the Dalton scale, because he's okay and he's never really varied far from okay. So if you've got a decent defense around you, and Kamara is actually doing some stuff. Alave got fucking knocked the fuck out,
he
right?
He did. Kamara, though, looked like he had a bit of fucking pop to him, which was really good. Like, just really just charging into that line. So it was kind of like, that's how they sort of salted away that game, right? Like, they got sort of two first downs at the end. It was mostly Kamara just like eating up like 5-6 yards with every fucking carry. Exactly. So anyway, the Jets smashed the Dolphins 40-17. This was crazy because I think, they were up like 18-17, I think, and then boom, it was all over.
Yeah.
Just fucking rolled them in the end. Sorry, 19-17, I think, going into the fourth. And 40-17, and they're giving Tyreek Hill the fucking peace sign. They're just fucking laughing. Yep. They're loving every second of it. 5 rushing touchdowns. Brees Hall fucking smashing it. Set a franchise record.
He's coming fucking... What was his breakout
franchise
game,
record
right?
For total yards by a rookie for the Jets. Unreal. Anyway, I don't want to talk about the rest of this game. Like, the Dolphins, they lose... As you said at the top, Teddy Two Gloves won on the first offensive set.
So. Yeah, it was fucking. Oh my god! Cornerback blitz pushed. It was for a safety. It was intentional grounding that ended up a safety, and he smacked his head and elbow on the ground and was out, knocked out straight away. And you're like, oh fucking Teddy!
Yeah.
He's just like worst fucking luck, man. Worst luck. Shittest teams, or when he's playing well, just horrible. It's just injuries.
Yep. 21-15, Buccaneers hold on to beat the Falcons because this was 21-0. And then it was 21-15. And if it wasn't for a bullshit roughing the passer call, Atlanta probably win it. Anyway, Brady sort of holds on. Playoff Lenny came through pretty big. But this Bucs team, we'll talk about it again later, but Just fucky. Titans, they hold against the Commanders, 21-17 in Washington because Carson Wentz really wenced that one up, didn't he? Just loves
I just want to make a... I've been waiting 3 days to make a public service announcement to anyone who both listens to this podcast and follows us on Facebook. I did not make the post about Wentz wencing it up. I was thinking it. I may have posted something similar on the Eagle Australia, but it was definitely Jimmy who posted that. Because realistically, I was sitting there the whole end of that game going, surely, I mean, come on, you can't fuck this up, Carson. You cannot fuck this up. You've had, what was it? It was like first and goal on like the four. And like they just had time and time again. But, you know, as we talked, look, as they talked about the play calling, I looked at a bit of analysis afterwards, and they're 100% right. One of the things that he did in his successful years was his scrambling ability. They did not move him out of that pocket. He didn't bootleg. He didn't move it out to take the defense following him. They didn't even threaten. There was no RPO, anything like that. It was literally statue, load up, and Titans saw it coming. And they were close to intercepting the pass before.
Threw three interceptions on that last series, and it was just the third one got caught. So anyway,
what a shit show
that was.
Anyway, so. I had a really great time in the Commanders subreddit this week again, Jimmy. It's my favorite place to hang out, I'm not going to lie.
It's basically your happy place. Texans get on the board 13-6 over the Jags because...
Well, hey.
Why the fuck not? It's the AFC South. Just... Again, speaking of not like betting on the Saints like for the rest of the season, I feel like there should just be a pretty good rule about just don't bet on any team from the AFC South playing another AFC South team, or just any AFC South team just in general. Like, it's Indy, it's the Texans, it's the Jags, it's the Titans. Like, I just don't want any bar of that shit. So,
is that the worst division in the league?
It probably is. That's got to be the worst division in the league now.
Yeah.
The Jags, after looking, you know, fucking awesome in the first couple of weeks, now 2-3, and they scored 6 points in this. Trevor Lawrence had another stinker, and just, you're like, okay, fuck. I thought we were here, like, you know, the Trevor Lawrence, like, coronation party a couple of weeks ago, and
yeah,
not so much. Anyway, the game that got Matt Rule fired, 37-15, the Niners just kicked the shit out of the Panthers. This was a fucking downer of a game, because, you know, Jimmy G was just looking handsome, hanging out. Jeff Wilson's just running over the top of motherfuckers. Christian McCaffrey be like running into people, and you're like, when's he getting hurt? When's he getting hurt? Oh, there he goes. He's a bit hobbled. Anyway, Cowboys outlasted the Rams 22-10. This was a wildly entertaining game. What was like a defensive touchdown, like basically on the...
Straight away,
right?
Like, fucking Micah Parsons is just fucking next level.
Did hurt
absolutely
himself.
Next level.
He
started and finished the game, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, there was a strip sack that led to, was it Lawrence? It was a scoop and score, on that first, and then they just kept it. This fucking Rams team, mate.
Can't trust them.
A lot of money for failure.
But I mean, this is also like the Rams' big problem is just like the offense is just fucking dead in the water. Like they scored 0 points in the second half. We know the Dallas defense is awesome, crazy. But they just look inept. And the only touchdown they scored in that game was that one where Cup just fucking took it and just was like, boop, 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 like a fucking video game, dude.
Yeah.
Eagles beat the Cards. Not so much beat the Cards as didn't lose to the Cards. 2017, a missed field goal, Matt Amendola. Would have sent it to overtime. Wide right? It was always wide right, wasn't it?
It was, yeah. So it was actually a little bit even more fucky than that. So the Eagles started off really well, and then they expected, right? But like we've been a shit second half team, and the Cardinals have taken a good two quarters to wake up. So that's exactly what happened. The Eagles hadn't had a running game all game and then took about 6-7 minutes off the clock at the end there, and instead of running on third down passed and stopped the clock to give Kyler a chance, They fucking blast down the field, and then Kyler does the slide. He slides a yard early. He gives himself up a yard early, meaning it's third and one, gets up there automatically, doesn't get the play call, and spikes the ball to instantly make it fourth and one. So instead of at third and one, having a chance with, you know, 25, 30 seconds left to get the first down and get it closer, ends up with a 43-yarder from Amendola. Great football name, shit kicker. who
they going to pop up again later, I think. So that's
all right. Yeah, who missed it? But I think they, yeah, I know, spoilers for later, but they literally, they didn't then, after he missed it, and they're showing, oh, the celebrations. Then they show his warm-ups, and he missed wide right like five times.
So weird. They never show that shit either as well. It's like, oh, fuck, I would have liked to have known that going into this.
And both Jesus. Eagles and Cards had replacement kickers in that game just due to, you know, injuries at, what's his name, Matt Prater. And we had Jelliot in there. But, yeah, it was, I squeaked it out, but I'm happy to be 5-0 and moving on to Dallas.
It's crazy because the Eagles look so good in those first two quarters, but there was a couple of stalled ones where you're like, oh, they should be up like 24.
A lot of injuries on the O-line. Yeah. Down to our third string left tackle, like second string. Kelsey went off. Like, we were down to backups along the offensive line. But the weird thing about AJ Brown did not get a target after halftime.
Yeah, and he looked awesome earlier, right? It's like, holy shit.
Can't do that.
Moving along, this has been Eagles Australia, apparently. Ravens 19, Bengals 17. This was a really fun game. Sunday Night Football. AFC North division rivals. Since he beat Baltimore last year, it was like that moment where it sort of turned around their season. The Ravens, no secondary, and so most of my sort of vibe on this was like, all right, well, just sling it. If you can keep Joey B upright, you should be fine. And the Bengals just fucking suffocated them, like, all game. Like, this is the thing, I think the record for under John Harbaugh, they're 19-2 now in prime time, so... There's something to that, I think, yes. I'm just saying. But like, Joey B was only sacked twice, and there was like a big sack of Tyler Boyd that really fucked them late as well. That sort of took them, you know, they're trying to pull a Philly special, and Baltimore sniffed it out and blew it up. But it just felt like they couldn't get any of their receivers open apart from like Hayden Hurst. Like, I think Jamar Chase had like one half decent catch. No T. Higgins because he was no go.
Boyd, I was about to say that. T. Anything, Higgins did his hamstring or something, which meant that there was no slot, so they didn't stretch as much as they could. And to be honest, the Ravens are getting kind of, their defense is getting healthy at the right time. So, but also happened to be fucking Lamar's worst game of the year. He was missing open targets.
Those throws, the overthrows late, you're just like, what is going on? It's like just missing dudes by like a good 3-4 meters. And you're like, he's like launching it. And you're like, yeah, it looks great. And you're realizing he's just sailing it way past people. And you're like, bro, what the fuck? Did you just shit your pants?
If your name wasn't Mark Andrews.
Like, what's going on? Ugh. Anyway.
There was a weird, like, did you see the weird attempted handoff to, was it Duvernay coming around the outside that, like, the center delayed it and it just was kind of fell it? Yeah, it was fucking weird.
Anyway, big win for the Ravens, though, because it's 3-2 for them now.
Yeah, it's huge.
Puts the Bengals back 2-3, and obviously that's the old double win when it's in the division, so you'll take that. Last one was Chiefs Raiders today. What a fucking fun game this was, too. We're watching this in the office, and I'm just like, basically, we had the sound down because we had a pretty busy office today. So, and I basically was just sort of commentating to a couple of the CodeBet fellas about what was going to happen, and you know, the Chiefs sort of proved me completely right. I did not expect Travis Kelce to have 4 touchdowns, though. So, just saying. But Josh Jacobs, that was the weird part for me, was that the Raiders just ran over the top of the Chiefs, whereas this is a Chiefs team where the Bucs couldn't run on them at all, and you're like, oh,
yeah,
what is, hang on. But then the Josh Jacobs and the Raiders just every time they needed some yards, it's like, oh, we'll just run it. And Jacobs was just finding room every time. So, but then the Chiefs came storming back. And,
It's been always that thing where this particular rivalry, doesn't matter where the Raiders are, somehow they fucking show up against the Chiefs, but right?
They didn't last year, right? Because that was the storyline after they won in 2020 in KC, and they were doing doughies in the car park on the team bus. And then last year, the Chiefs absolutely
smoked them.
Fucked them. Like, just time. Like, it was like 44-something, 41-something. And they just went out of their road to make sure they really fucked them up. And this one, you know, big come from behind because they were down, like, what, 20 to 10 at halftime.
Yeah.
And, just went, all right, we'll just keep throwing to Kelce, who had the four touchdowns and, like, fuck all yards because it was all just red zone. And it's like, all right, sick.
Yeah, exactly.
Meanwhile, Devontae Adams looked fucking incredible, but he only had three receptions for 125 yards or something and two TDs. And you're like,
it was crazy.
Anyway, crazy game. Look, and of course,
massive,
the Raiders.
Massive shout out to Jarul, who rode Kelce all the way to his first ever dynasty football team win. I'm going to pay that one.
Nice.
But the other thing that was the pass interference. Like, I mean, it seems like early in the game, it was a Derek Carr strategy. It was just, I'm just going to lob shit. And if Devonta Adams doesn't take it, it's going to be a pass interference.
But there was
could be a season strategy.
There was a holding call that wasn't called late on the Raiders, and they basically had the next sequence. They just like called a bullshit.
The makeup
call for on the kick, right? And it was like a holding call. It's like, what the fuck is going on here?
What's going on?
But then the Raiders fucked themselves by trying to. I'm for winning, like going to win the game, but not if you're 29-30 and you're like, oh, well, we better go for two here because there's only 4.5 minutes left in the game. And if we go up, then we might win. Look, winning games is good. Also, maybe just tie the game and then give yourself a chance to then win it because there's still fucking 4.5 minutes to go. I understand the Chiefs are like rolling at that point.
I feel like.
But
yeah,
Jesus,
it was only
Kelce, and it's like 4.5 minutes left, man. Just kick the fucking thing, tie it up, go from there. Anyway, that was just another one of the weird fucky coaching things this week. So, moving. Rat. Lung. I don't know. What else we got now, guys?
Do you go into a few Yenars?
What do you reckon?
Doing just some Yenars? Yeah, all right. We've got a few. So for background reference and pulling the curtain back, Jimmy and I didn't realize we had both notes documents running at the same time, so we've both done versions of our own thing. So I'm going to ask you some Yenars, Jimmy.
Nice.
We'll do that one.
Real nice.
And then
nice.
You can fucking... Yeah. Ron Rivera and Dan Campbell won't last out the season. Yenar?
Oh, I don't think Ron does. Nah. I think Dan Campbell does. I think they pull out just a couple of weird fucky... Happy lines,
some
victories
goodwill
and
there,
stuff.
Isn't there
is like, there's enough goodwill sort of built up, and if there's enough injuries, they don't fire him just yet because they'll love the guy. But I think there's just some weird shittiness that goes on in games that make you just go, look, I feel like you might be the world's greatest like motivator and best dude to have on the sideline, but I don't know if you're the world's greatest schematic head coach. I don't know if Ron does.
They're fucking, you got to give, Jameson Williams, right? He was such a dominant force in the NCAA last year, and his kid did his ACL, and then he's coming back, and you're like, he's going to have him in November, and you reckon could Dan Campbell put him across from Amon-Ra St. Brown and get DeAndre Swift there, and that's going to be a pretty strong deep offense. If they could only get some fucking stops, one or two a game would probably be nice. Anyway, all right, moving up. The Giants are a convincing 1-4 team and certain to make the playoffs.
4-1.
Yeah,
no. 4-1.
4-1. Oh, mate, fuck it. There was so much dripping. I even tried to take out my sarcasm in that, and even because of that, I stumbled on the record. The Giants are a convincing 4-1 team and certain to make the playoffs.
Certainly, nah, because I think the ass can fall out of a team that is quarterbacked by Danny Dimes and has zero receivers pretty quickly, right? Like, it's one of those things where you go, hey, weren't they 4-1? Why are they now 4-5? Like, what has happened? I haven't looked at their schedule, but yeah. No certainty, I think, you know, it's also that tough one where the fact that Dallas and Philly in their own division are pretty fucking tough. Like, if they can get one or two wins against them, maybe, but it's going to be a bit of a fucking rough one. They've already lost one to Dallas. That's that one loss.
Yeah.
I don't know, but that win against the Packers was pretty cool. I'll tell you that much, but I don't think they're a certain.
I saw I think the odds to make the playoffs after this week that I saw were in the division alone. Eagles were sitting at like 99%. The Cowboys at 4-1 were sitting at like 92%, and the Giants were sitting at 54%.
Hmm.
Now, that schedule is a little bit fucky. And look, Daboll is fucking great, but it's still Danny Dimes, no receivers. Exactly. And yeah, I don't think they make it, but that's me. Speaking of, Daboll, Coach of the Year.
Whoa.
What he's done so far, he's a dark horse. He's coming out. I've got money on Nicky Sriracha, but Brian Daboll.
I still think those are the Sean McDermott, Nicky Sriracha picks that we might have had preseason. Throwing those out there, still feel pretty good. But Daboll, like, if the Giants actually don't have the ass full out of him, Daboll's probably a good pick. Mm. But if Sriracha just keep, you know, if they don't lose, I mean, he probably wins it.
Of course, of course. I think this week is a big, well, I mean, we're going to touch on it in a second, but this week's a big statement. Right. Next dripping with sarcasm. Yeah, nah. Rusty really was playing with a torn lat, and that was the reason he was so shit. Yeah, nah.
Rusty Wilson, yeah, nah. Look. I've got another yeah nah here for you as well. Is Russ cooked? It's not so much let Russ cook. Is Russ cooked?
They're linked.
Because, look, he was my sort of sneaky, just keep an eye on him for MVP. It's like, no, he might actually just be bad. Just might be bad. Because I feel like as soon as you take away the scramble ability, take away just that the threat of it at least, where you watch a Denver game at the moment, and it's like 3rd and 4 or something. It's like, all right, cool. We need 4 yards. Russ, 4 years ago, just wheel route, off he goes, fake handoff, hits an edge, fucking bang. You've got your 5 yards, first down, move the flags. And now that just doesn't exist and hasn't actually existed for a little while. Like, if you've paid attention to Russ, and like, that was kind of the thing. Like, when he was in Seattle the last couple of years, I'm like, he's banged up, doesn't want to get hit anymore. Cool. This year, Broncos country. Let's ride. It's like, how about you fucking get on the horse, you dickhead, and fucking take off? Jesus Christ.
That was saying the only scrambles he had one significant run of like 18 yards or something, and that was only because clear green grass in front of him, not a single risk of getting clipped, right? I guess Jalen Hurts, Josh Allen, kind of hard yards between the tackles, the things that 4th and 1, old school Russ wouldn't think twice about, right? Straight up the guts, like, fucking take it on. It's just not happening, right? So, anyway.
It's weird.
And then for me, last one. Wentz is the next Andy Dalton. And is destined for a backup role next year. As in, he's okay, he's fine, he'll put up the numbers, but he'll also fucking kill your team.
A backup role in the CFL or the NFL?
Oh, nice. Mate, he was top 3 in the first 2 weeks, 10 pass yards.
Nah, he's fucked. And the thing is, when you want, what you want in a backup is not like mercuriosity, right? You don't want a mercurial backup QB. You want Andy Dalton. You want someone steady.
You just want Nick Foles.
You know exactly what you're going to get each time. So I think, if Wentz doesn't get a starting gig, it's like Cam Newton-esque, right? Where it's like, all right, you might be just fucking out, pal. So, other ones for you. Real quick hitters. Are the Jets good? Yeah, nah.
I'm just not... it's a lot of new talent. I'm not sold yet. I'm not sold on who they've beaten. I mean, the fact that some of the games that they scraped through with Flacco, probably not. Like to see a little bit more from Zachy. They got some talent on the outside.
They do.
The receivers. And Breece Hall come through. Mate, there could be good for years to come. I'm just not. Let's make it 2023 where we have revisit this question.
Yeah, I feel good about that one. So, like, there's going to be a weird game where they play, like, the Pats, I think, in, like, 2 or 3 weeks' time. It's like, oh, I'm terrified of that because it's going to be, like, really, we're fucking losing the Jets now. Cool. Are the Packers frauds? Yeah, no. Nah.
So, this is... I don't know. I'm hesitant to bet against the same fucking usual suspects every year. You know, the Chiefs seem to have turned it around, but started out sketchy as fuck. The Packs started out sketchy as fuck. The Bucks are starting to get healthy now, but started out sketchy as fuck. Like, I'm just not sold on writing off guys like Aaron Rodgers and the Pack team yet. I'm gonna say yet, but they're not. They're only a couple of weeks away from Jesus Christ. This shit's done, right?
Yeah, I mean it's their defense is still playing pretty well though. Like, that's kind of the thing. Yeah. So that's why I'm like hesitant to go, oh, they're fucked, because it's just like,
yeah.
As long as it's sort of Rodgers and they sort of figure out the receivers and the offense just that little bit more, they should be fine. The Bucks though, they kind of suck, right? Yeah, nah.
Yeah, but once again, as I said, like it's a health thing. They'll get back there. I'm like, they're only starting to get in there. You know, funnily enough, I don't know. Like anyone who wasn't like, look at our impression of Matt Ryan, who's got what 8 years younger than Tom Brady, and we're like, oh my god, roll out the wheelchair. This fucking guy's cooked, and yet we're still going, oh, Brady didn't quite hit that 50-yard pass pinpoint on a go route to Godwin. Jesus Christ, Brady, what's wrong with you?
But I mean, I
think they'll be fine, mate. They'll be fine.
Yeah, like as you sort of point out, right? Like it's about health. Like their defense is still really, it's pretty good. Like I think there's like a weird, shitty red zone. Like they're one of the worst red zone defensive teams or whatever. But like everything else, they're pretty good. So it's like this weird sort of like, yeah, they'll be fine.
And when have they had a full go Godwin, Evans, Gage, and Julio on the field at the same time?
Yep.
Like, just hasn't happened.
Good point. Last one, if they beat Dallas, can your Eagles go undefeated? Yeah, nah.
Nah, nah, nah. Nah, God, no. And you're going to ask me this question every fucking week. Look, I'm surprised that we're between 4.5 and 5.5, depending on who you ask, points. Tipped over Dallas because I'm scared of that fucking defense. But we've still got games against the Pack when I think that they'll be better. I think about the Rams when I think that they'll be
It's literally just two Dallas games and two Giants games and a Packers game, and that's literally the only ones that look like they could be a problem, because it goes Cowboys, then you got Steelers, Texans, Commanders, Colts, all should be the wins. Then the Packers game at the very end of November, which is likely a Thanksgiving game, maybe. And then you've got the Titans, which is a little bit tricky, but maybe not. Who knows what they're going to be like. Then Giants, then Bears, then Dallas, New Orleans, and then Giants to finish it off. So, just saying.
Oh, wow. I thought there was a... Fuck, I had in my head that there was a Rams one in there. That's not too bad. But also,
I think I might have just talked
to you. I would like to... I know that none of them fucking listen, but just so you know that the second Dallas game's a Christmas Eve game, so Christmas Day in Australia. So I apologise to my family for not turning up this year.
Love it.
Just saying.
All right. Good bloke of the week. Anyway. Bloke, you want to buy a beer?
Mate, I can't believe I've put this... I've put these down this week... And I've done this on your behalf. Didn't you put him down last week?
I think I had Zappy on last week.
You put him as your bloke.
Fucking love Bailey
Zappy. Zappy, mate. Fucking hell. Come in. Not bad for a third string. Obviously, your defense shuts out the number one offense in the league at that point. But compared to what Pickett did, oof, you kind of got to... Mate, that's... Yeah.
Yeah,
you got to be happy with your number one.
Just fucking,
yeah.
Was it third or fourth?
But the other one for me is fucking, I love Justin Tucker. Justin Tucker, I don't know, if you watch the highlights of the field goals, I think he kicked 4 field goals in that game. But after he kicked the 58-yarder, I think it was at the end of the third quarter, he turns around to the crowd and gives it a bit of the, yeah, I fucking did. Raises the hands, gives it that, are you not entertained kind of shit. But then he backs it up and also kicks the game winner with 3 seconds to go. I'm like, this guy is fucking automatic. Him and Carlson at the moment are out of control, right?
Tucker's incredible. He's like, in terms of just value that he adds to your team of like, oh yeah, cool. Well, we're playing the Bengals. There's enough time for us to get near halfway. And if we get there, we're going to win the game. Like, and then the best part was the stat that came out, like the next gen stat, right, about how if he'd kicked it, like, if the poles were, like, a yard apart, it still would have gone. It was so far through
it was
the fucking
dead,
middle.
It was fucking dead straight.
Incredible.
Right? It was, I watched, I don't know what of a nerd I am. I went back and watched a kicker highlights today. And saw that kick from Tucker was straight down the guts, mate.
Yep. Old mate, no mates. Old mate, no mates. A couple of obvious ones there.
There's a few, mate. I fucking put this list together, and I realized when I went back and reviewed this list how many there are on the old mate no mates list that makes me look really angry and jaded this week. But maybe that's more about my state of mind. Anyway, Amendola Murray, that we've already touched on. What a clusterfuck to end that Eagles game. Driving down against the 4-0 team, slide early, spike the ball, ruin the clock for Murray, and then Amendola come out and then miss wide right. So anyway, next one. Today's game, Devontae Adams, fucking on your way out. You've just lost by a point. Shove the fuck out of the cameraman, then jump on Twitter afterwards and go, oh, sorry, I really hope he sees this. That's not me. Oh, just a little bit frustrated. Yeah, nah, sorry, dude.
Shit bloke territory is that one.
Yeah. The Ron Rivera, Carson Wentz combo, right? I don't know who has got less friends. Carson Wentz, probably, because Ron Rivera came out yesterday and went, the interview was like, pretty much, why does your team suck? And his one-word response was quarterback. Yeah, so that's not going to go well for you. Why have the rest of... Follow-up question. Why have the rest of the NFC East seemingly tried to rebuild quite quickly? Quarterback. They've built around these people. One of them's playing with a backup. I hate to tell you, Cooper Rush is not the guy. Yep, we're going to have to sort that out. Anyway, and the final one is the fucking refs. Ugh. If anyone's got no friends, it is... Fucking Brady Jarrett is not going to talk to them. He's not. They're off the Christmas card list. And then who was the Chiefs defender today who sacked Carr, like on the sack, pulled the ball out so it was fumble. At that point, the defender had possession, fell on top of him. During that motion, braced himself with his hand so he didn't fall on Carr and still got called for roughing the passer. That is fucking bullshit. So the refs will be coming out another, making another statement.
Was that was Chris Jones or something, wasn't it? It was something like something that, I feel like, yeah. But it's just like, what is fucking going on? Like, yeah, just sort of...
It's the ultimate overcorrection for Tua, right?
Yeah.
It's the ultimate overcorrection.
Yeah, it was Chris Jones. I just checked it right then. I'm like, yeah, I was watching it and just going, holy shit, what are we doing here? Anyway.
Fuck.
Real quick, unpopular opinion of the day. It was just sort of, I hate makeup calls, but I'm kind of okay with some of them. Like, I thought that, like, that Chiefs Raiders one.
I wonder where you were going with that.
That Chiefs Raiders one, just fucking, I laughed so fucking hard because it was so obviously, oh, we missed that so badly. Mahomes is literally pointing it out as it's happening, but none of us had the balls to throw the flag because he was, like, pointing it out on the fucking field while it was happening, and then he threw the ball away. So they made it up for like a fucking phantom holding call on the fucking like kick. Boom, first down. It's like, you're shitting me. But also, I will kind of pay it. But the roughing the passes, no, that shit was just fucked and beyond the pale. So I'll pay that.
Well, tell me this one, right? So it was roughing. So roughing the passes not currently reviewable.
Yep.
Right? Currently. However, turnover is. Yep. So if that's a fumble that is reviewable... Should they have just let that slide?
Should they?
Or just made roughing the passer slide?
Yeah.
Roughing the passer reviewable. So they would have gone, he braced himself and he had the fucking ball.
Yeah, I think it's just 100% just a bunch of refs shitting themselves after the Tua stuff, after like the league have gotten on a phone call and just gone, right, we have to protect. Like the Brady thing was insane.
The case with
like,
Brady,
just literally
right?
just,
they thought.
It's like, oh, I thought he swung him. It's like, dude, he's literally just putting him on the ground. Like, what are we doing? Like,
yeah.
Fucking
hell. When I first saw the Brady one and then I, like, saw the flag, I was like, oh, fuck, did I miss... Did Brady have an arm pinned or something? Did I miss that?
I don't think so.
And like, then I watched the replay and then, no, he definitely didn't. He had them both pulled out. Garrett had him around the fucking waist.
Yep.
Like, in his textbook. Anyway.
Australian Spotty, Big Dixon Energy.
Oh, this is the first time, Jimmy, we've done it for all of the fucking wrong reasons. But it wasn't Australian Spotty. He's the Aussie who's had the most attention in the league this year. And he was our favourite last week. That was Big Dixon Energy. So last week he didn't have to punt at all. And Dixon, yeah, there was a trick punt gone wrong. So if you look at it, it looks like it was almost like a fake punt that he tried to run and then just got fucking slammed. But apparently, it was a rollout punt that the Seahawks, if you listen to what Pete Carroll was saying, it was a rollout punt that the Seahawks have been trying in practice, and that is where they move the spot of the punt to improve the angle. But as he's gone to do it, defense has broken the line and they were a little bit too close and thought it would get smothered. So he thought he'd kind of run it himself. The ball got popped. Saints get the ball, punched in. Taysom then gets the momentum. Game fucking over. Tough like, scene. Oh, tough dude, scene. In the media for all the wrong fucking reasons. You're nice. Our hero, Dixon, but yeah, not this.
Nice one. All right, our anyway. Back takeouts. It is Tuesday on our back, and you know what that means. That's right. Me and the squid got up this morning, just jumped out in the backyard with a couple of cricket bats, and as soon as we heard that, bang! Some delicious fucking kookaburra wings. Only at our back. Goes great with the flame grill take, and today's flame grill take is Bailey Naily Zappi isn't just better than Mac Jones, but Bill Belichick loves coaching him more because it's like upping the fucking difficulty on the computer game. And that's why the Pats are going to make the playoffs. Only at Outback.
I half don't mind this. I feel like, yeah, Belichick's just looked at Zappi just going, oh yeah, and go to the fucking playoffs with this guy. That'd be fun. Whereas Mac Jones is like, it's like cheating if you go do it with a fucking first rounder. I need another fourth round QB to turn into a Super Bowl champ. Bailey, my boy, you're it. And yeah, he is a fourth round pick. So what was it? Fourth round, 137. Jesus. And obviously, Tom Brady, famously, what a sixth rounder. I think that was right, wasn't it? I fucking knew that off some. Tom Brady was like 199, wasn't he?
yeah, he was. He was.
Anyway, so yeah, pick 99, round six. I knew that off the top of my head. Didn't even have to look it up. Jesus. But also, feel like that boga, like, fucking roughing the pass. Like, Tom has just, like, got to slip him some cash after that one as well, right? As a bit of a...
Yeah, it's fucking ridiculous.
Just brutal. Anyway, Captain Fantasy. I got smashed this week. Yeah, right. Devontae Adams having a big one didn't help. I just got fucking killed. So, anyway.
Yeah. I won both Dynasty and the NFL Australia to the point where McKeegan, everyone's heard of McKeegan, he fucking gets a number of references over the years, sent me a message today going, oh, could you at least have bought me dinner beforehand? Like, it was pretty good. And considering that was from last night, and then I had Daniel Carlson, who scored 12, my kicker scored 12 points in the first half. He was on fire today. Like, from outside 50, he was a bit special. So there you go. I think Daniel Carlson's got the longest field goal streak in the NFL at the moment.
Yep.
Bigger than Tucker.
Not bad. My
random fact.
It just fucking annoyed me because I think I think it's Tavis behind Rodgers, that was like winless and then beat me. And I'm just like, are you fucking serious? Like I was flying. Oof. 3-1 and then, yeah, lose to Tavis. So. But the good thing is, as usual, like our league is fucking wildly competitive. I think the vast majority again is like 3-2 or 2-3. So good times, great memories, good fantasy. All right. Let's fly through some previews for next week and get the fuck out of here. Washington, Chicago, no one has to watch this one. Like, we all get a free pass this week if we don't watch this on Friday morning, right? Chicago, half-point favorites.
I'm going to pretend that I have the work to do.
We've both picked Chicago just because, like, I don't know, they look half decent. Washington don't. And they're at home, so it's like, fuck it. Look, this wouldn't surprise me if Washington pulled it out of their ass, but I just don't want to think about it anymore, so Chicago it is. Atlanta. No. Hosting San Francisco. I've gone the Falcons +5.5 because they're at home. That's a big number at home because I think anytime you get over that sort of 6-7 this year, home teams are not covering. So, especially if they're underdogs. Yeah. So +5.5 against the San Francisco team that struggles to score at the best of times. Didn't last week against the Panthers, obviously, because the Panthers are a shithouse.
Yeah.
But Atlanta just stick with teams. And 5.5 is just, I mean, this is 100% a recipe for late touchdown comeback out of nowhere. The exact same way that Atlanta did against the Rams, against the Bucks, against literally everyone they've played, because I think they're 5-0 against the spread. which is fucking
amazing. Yeah, and so. And that's exactly why I picked Atlanta for that. The Atlanta and Texans I've picked often to cover the spread because they are just grinded out shitty teams that always lose, but always lose close. And I've gone completely against that this week, which is ironic because mostly it's down as well. And I've just, I'm just on, someone has to separate themselves as finally hitting their stride. And the San Francisco 49ers have done the last two games well. And I'm,
have done
I'm
the
just
last
betting
two
on
again.
Them going on a run. I've done.
You're
done,
doing a great job of talking words. You've got the Niners, all right. But I'm taking the Falcons, plus 5.5. Pats, they go to Cleveland. Yep. Cleveland. The Browns are 3.5-point favorites against the Pats. The 3.5 is the clincher for me. I think the Pats keep this close with the defense. It's either going to be like 42-10 and the Pats get fucking smashed because like the run defense just falls apart for one game, or it's like 20-17. Like there's no other outcome in this game, I think. So
there's no middle ground.
Yeah, I'll take the Pats plus 3.5 just because
I would like to know happy. I would like to know who's gonna I'd like to know who's playing quarterback from you guys. I'm assuming it's Appy.
Mac was practicing. Deion Jones? He was practicing last week, yeah, but was still limping, so I don't know if they
Cleveland traded for Deion Pro Bowler Deion Jones from the Falcons this week. Obviously not a long time to get to be used to a in middle linebacker spot in a defense, so won't do anything this week. But that run, Chubb is just fucking going off his head this year. If they don't try and actually make it a pass game and get a lead, I think they've got the ability to milk the clock. So I'm going with Cleveland.
Yeah, it's a good call. Like the Pats, like coming back in a game doesn't really ring true. So it's a bit of a fucking worry. Definitely, like a team that. Like Cleveland, who can sit on the ball, could really fuck us up. Green Bay, they host the Jets. We've both gone the Packers. This has got to be like the fuck you SmackDown game, doesn't it?
Yeah.
At home, 7.5-point favorites. Yeah. You've got to smash them.
You have to.
It's 7.5.
This is the write-off. This is the write-off. Well, as we said, we're close to the write-off game. If you can't do the Jets at home, then you've got problems.
Hated this one. Jacksonville at Indy. What did we just say about the AFC South? Just fucking throw it in the bin. Throw it in the dam. Go to the nearest dam and just throw the entire fucking division in the dam. Get it in the dam.
Yeah.
Plus 2.5, the Jags. We've both gone Jacksonville because fucked if I'm going to trust Indy. I don't want to trust Jacksonville,
they've got
something.
They've got some weapons. They've shown some spirit. I mean, if JT comes back for Indy, then maybe he can run over them. But, you know, Etienne seems to be getting more touch. And they've got some weapons on the outside. So Dougie's got to get... Dougie P, come on, mate. I've got the faith in Dougie P.
Yeah.
We'll do this. Jacksonville.
Me too. Minnesota go to Miami. I actually had written down Miami. Then I remembered that I don't know who their QB is going
to be. Oh, you fucking fraud. I'm trying to catch up, Jimmy.
We didn't have that one colored in anyway, so we don't have to change much. Right, but Minnesota, minus 3.5. This is just more of a Miami... Look, Miami at home, it's always going to be a bit tougher. And because what... They play the Jets this week in New Jersey. It's just that little bit different. Miami, Teddy will probably be out of the bullshit concussion protocols because it didn't look like he was actually... Like, he passed all the protocol bullshit, but at the same time...
They literally said it was a... So, it literally came down to the spotter saw him stumble.
Yeah.
And that is the... In terms of overcorrections from Tua, that is one of the things that has been brought out, even if you pass all the tests.
Yeah, so I don't like this line, Minnesota minus 3.5, because I could easily see like Teddy Two Gloves coming back, Teddy Covers coming back in at home and like just ripping off like a random win, and this would be very Minnesota, wouldn't it? Like, as soon as you feel vaguely comfortable picking them, they fuck you. So but I just can't trust the question marks around the Miami thing. Like, we might have a moment this week where we both end up changing this pick as well, I think. But
yeah,
we'll see how we go. Since you go to New Orleans, I hate this fucking New Orleans team. I mentioned earlier, they're 1.5-point underdogs at home. It's just, this Cincy team should be blowing teams out, and they just can't. They haven't really done it at all. I have gone with the Saints just because I think they keep this close. I think they can win outright, and if they're getting 1.5, I'll take that.
I just feel, Cincy...
Oh, wait, hang on a second. This is... Joe Burrow going back to Louisiana. Oh, I might have to change that. Oh, he loves that Southern cooking.
Oh, it's a romance story. And if Jimmy didn't realize there was romance involved.
Hang on. LSU's own Joey B. Jamar Chase, yeah, I think I might have to swing that. Yeah, Cincy, -1.5. Sorry, Gaz.
Oh, you fucking changing all your picks when I'm trying to catch up, you fucking Jim.
Anyway.
Yeah, I mean, look, for me, New Orleans is just untrustable and have been for weeks. Whereas Cincy, this Baltimore team is a playoff team. They lost to very, very fucking closely. And they were missing T. Higgins. So I'm hoping T comes back because I've got him in one of my fantasy fucking legs and he's been a fucking rock star. I think Sydney can bring it out.
Yep.
Sydney can bring it out.
Giants hosting Baltimore. I've actually gone the Giants +4.5 here and I hate that too. It's just the home dog sort of vibe. It's like 4.5 might be too much.
Still, because it feels like this is what to make of this team either way.
This is a Giants team that'll be like, all right, cool. So we're gonna be 4-1. We'll be 4-5 in 4 weeks' time because we lose to Baltimore, but we lose by 3. And so I'll take the 4.5. You've gone Baltimore.
Yeah. Look, I after watching the way that he played for the first 3 to 4 weeks and then watching the way he played this week, I think Lamar's going to come back and go, oh yeah, remember that was an anomaly.
I kind of agree with you as well. It's the sort of defense as well that'll fuck up Danny Dimes and we won't we'll realize halfway through the game it's like, oh,
getting healthy at the right time. And yeah,
I'm taking my point. So Tampa Bay go to Pittsburgh, the 8.5-point favorites on the road. That's not even close to being enough for me at the moment, so I'll take Tampa Bay -8.5. So have you. Easy.
Look, as I said, I just did a whole rant before about getting healthy at the right time. I still don't think they're there, but I would take that against whatever the fuck is going on in Pittsburgh. We are witnessing Tomlin's first losing season.
Yeah, it's weird.
Of his career.
Never gone under 500. Yeah, Tampa Bay also. So he's like 11-0 all time against Atlanta now after this week. And I feel like he's got to have a pretty great record against Tomlin too. But anyway, Carolina go to the Rams. Crazily enough, we've both gone Carolina. Dead coach bounce, 10.5 points is just too much though.
Yes, I was wondering whether you were going to bring that up. It's literally the, we're going to be with, even though it's like PJ fucking Walker, whatever his fucking name is, the Rams' offense was just fucking gross.
It's been shit.
I'm hoping. I just want that. I literally don't think the Panthers can put up points. Yeah. I'm just. It's just going to be a grind out defense game, and the Rams are going to win by 5.
Yep. It's like 23-17 or some dumb shit, and you're like, what is going on?
Fucked up. Yeah.
Seattle host Arizona. I've gone Seattle +2.5 because this is a home team. Arizona outside, up in Seattle, no fucking chance. I'm not going to pick Arizona in that spot. Like, the Seahawks team is just a fucking train wreck at times as well, but I at least know that they can put up points sometimes, and I know they can do it at home, and I'm just not going to trust Arizona. So I'm taking Seattle +2.5.
Oh, I struggled. I just can't bring myself to trust Geno, right? There's just fucking something about Geno.
You mean the quarterback with the highest QBR in the entire NFL at the moment?
Oh, I know, but like, fuck.
Anyway. Geno. I like it. Oh, I won't trust Geno Smith, but I'll trust Kyler Murray, the guy who slid fucking a yard short of a first down and then spiked the ball thinking.
It was like, that was. It wasn't that his physical skill set wasn't there. It was his decision making was questionable. If he gets up, well, I've got no worries, right? Like, it was just, not that this team is known to start well early, but anyway, I'm going Arizona.
Yep.
Don't argue with me. Cool. I'm still on it.
KC Buffalo. This we've got two absolute so a bunch of these games suck. Like, and I will say most of those are like weirdly fucky, but these two are incredible. Buffalo or KC, a replay of the divisional round AFC last year.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Cause they played basically the AFC title game, but the week earlier, we've both actually gone Buffalo -2.5. They just feel like a much more convincing team at the moment, don't they? Chiefs
right now,
just a bit too scrappy. So,
and even like this week, I mean, that wasn't a great Raiders team that they kind of scraped over the line for. And don't get me wrong, it wasn't a great Steelers team that they dismantled, that Bills dismantled, but they just feel like a completer.
Yep.
Completer? More complete.
It is a bit tricky, though. There's something to be said about KC being at home for like 2 weeks straight, but it's also on a short week. I just like Buffalo that a little bit more.
Yeah.
Dallas at Philly. I've gone Dallas +4.5.
I fucking hate tipping this game, Jimmy. I literally do not have anything next to this. And I don't fucking like it, Jimmy. I don't like it. I don't like it.
You have to make a decision, Gaz. So.
Fuck it. I'm going to go Philly. Fuck it.
There we go. Look at him. Puts his balls on the line.
Literally, you can hear me typing that in right now. That is Philly. Banging on my fucking keyboard.
I just think that Dallas defense will be a bit of a handful for your team, so especially with like all the line problems. So,
yeah, I mean, well, the big thing for me is I'm yet to work out who's going to come back. Kelsey's supposed to play. Mailata was supposedly, like, if Mailata comes back this week, that's fucking huge. But even now, we were down to backup guards and things like that. So if he comes back, that's amazing. But you're talking about the top two. I didn't check the stats this week because we only had one sack. But it was the top two defenses in terms of sacks, in terms of takeaways, the top two teams in terms of turnover differential. So even though they are not putting up a heap of points, Dallas, Cooper Rush is protecting the ball. So what the Eagles need to do is make it a fucking, not a shootout, but they need to make it more than 24 points. Nice. They need to be able to put up 24 and make Cooper Rush do the same thing. And if they can do that, then the Eagles might scrape over the line and need to do it by more than 5 points.
Like it. And then Denver Chargers. We get another primetime Denver game. I wonder if the remaining Denver fans will fuck off before overtime starts when the game is tied.
We didn't mention that. We did not mention that.
That was incredible.
But it was, yeah.
Just, oh, I've got to beat the traffic. So it's like, you know, the game like isn't over and it's tied and it's close. But I'm like also watching going, I'd probably do the fucking same thing. Like, I just get the fuck out of there. I'm like, I don't want to watch this. This is like horrible. Like, this is the grossest football I've watched in ages. But anyway, Denver at Chargers. We've both gone the Chargers -5.5. They weren't wildly convincing this week. They fell ass backwards into a win. But Denver kind of stink. Like,
yeah.
Out loud. They stink out loud. So I'm taking the Chargers. Give me some jazzy.
It was like, I don't know. Fingers crossed. That was the performance this week, is the game that Eckler woke up, because he was pretty strong this week. At some point, we got to get Keenan Allen back for Juzzy, right? He's been without him since, what, like first quarter of week one or something fucking fucked up like that. so yeah, I'm going Chargers as well. I cannot put any money on Denver to put up touchdowns at this point in time.
Nice one. All right, well, I'm smashing Gaz by 10 picks already so far through 5 weeks, so not bad. Gaz is nothing if not consistently bad, 7-7-7-6-7 so far this season. I've gone 9-8-11-7-9. So
the spread is not my friend.
Just saying. It's almost like it's one of our jobs to get this right.
I know.
Just saying. Anyway. Righto, that's it for week 5 of NFL Australia. A weird week. One of those classic, like, what is happening, but we've got shit tons to talk about kind of week. So, obviously, we are weekly. It's what we do. And Gaz keeps popping up with Eagle Australia. You know, that's what he does.
Yeah, I was slack last week, Jimmy, because I don't know if I told you, but I went for a run and last week. And I didn't get... Life got in the way and I didn't do a podcast. But I've been posting really offensive shit on the Eagle Australia page. So feel free to join that. Usually against people in the NFC East who aren't Eagles. Jump on that. And I'm definitely going to be doing a podcast drunk from a hotel room in Sydney, if I remember correctly, tomorrow night. Yeah,
nice. Chuck us a follow on Facey, Twitter, IG. Chuck us a rating review on your podcast app, whatever app you use. Just rate and review. Go on. Don't be one of those people who doesn't. This is not hard. Big thanks to House Hats for intro and outroing these episodes with that tune. Boom, Brook, and they're great. I love them. Get around NBA Australia. We are still weekly heading into the NBA season. And get around Codebet, my new gig. Yeah, you can read me each and every week on CodeBet, writing about every fucking game in the NFL. So, lots going on. Gaz, any other plugs?
Yes. You've spoken about everything NFL. Eagle Australia. So, I've done that's it. Have a listen to that. Come talk to me. Listen to the Eagles. Fly, Eagles, fly. I don't know what to say. The Ramshackle Army, we're in the process of booking gigs for later in the year. We're going to have a Christmas show. Jimmy. Nice. So I'm going to get up and play some music, sing some tunes, do a few things, drink some beers.
Have a dance. Love it. All right, well, we'll catch you in a bit, you dickheads. I'll see you next week.
See yous.
Stumbled
over that one. Sorry, Jimmy. Is this what I came here? Foiled.